Okay, good morning. Thank you for joining. Today's daf is Yoma Daf Samach. Daf Samach. And let's start again on the bottom of Nun Tes Amud Aleph. Nun Tes Amud Beis is very short to get back into the flow of the discussion. The initial discussion is whether Mida Oraisa, whether biblically there is Ni'ila in using for secular benefit blood of a carbon after the blood of the carbon already went onto the Mizbeach. So the Mishnah had said that the Shirayim, the leftover blood of the bull of the Kohen Gadol and the goat of the nation, would be mixed together. It would then be poured on the Yesod, on the foundation of the Mizbeach HaChitzon, of the outer altar. And then it would exit through a, drainage canal, the Amma, to Nachal Kidron. And in Nachal Kidron, it would be purchased by farmers who would use it as fertilizer. And the Mishnah said that Umol in Bahen, in this blood, there would be Me'ila. Says the Gemara, Tan Rabbanan Luntin Abraisa, Malin Bidzam Div Rabbi Meir Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir Rabbi Shimon say that blood, after it went onto the wall of the Mizbeach, there is a Me'ila to it if you use it, like our Mishnah. Chacham say, Ain Malin Bed, there's no Me'ila if you use it. If you use it, it would not be the sin of Me'ila. And explains the Gemara now in the Testament Beis, Ad Kan Lo Plig Yel Midrabbanan. This whole argument is whether Midrabbanan there is a Me'ila. But Mida Oraisa, biblically, Mishanaseis Mitzvaso, once the Mida Oraisa, biblically, once the mitzvah is done, there is no Me'ila. So even if there is a Me'ila Midrabbanan, there wouldn't be the normal rules of Me'ila, where you pay an extra fifth as a fine for having stolen from Beis HaMikdash. That would not be with the Me'ila here, this Me'ila we're talking about of using the blood of a carbon after its mitzvah was done with it, after it was sprinkled on the Mizbeach. So again, Ad Kan Lo Pligi, the whole argument whether there is Me'ila or not is a Me'ila Midrabbanan. As Rashi says, L'shalim Karen, to pay the principal amount of Mida Oraisa, but a biblical Me'ila where you'd have to add another fifth for having used the Hekdesh property, that certainly does not happen with blood of a carbon after its service was already done. So the whole argument is about Me'ila Midrabbanan. Amidaraisa in Malin Behen. So the Gemara now says, Minani Me'ili, how do we know that there's no Me'ila in the blood of a carbon after it was sprinkled? So three approaches. Amar Ula Ula said, Amar Kaka, the Pasuk says about blood, the Pasuk says, "Vanina sativ lachem." So listen, Amar Kadosh, the Pasuk says, "Lachem, lachem, yin shalachem yehei." It has to be yours. There's no meila to it. It's like chulin. The Bei Rabbi Shimon Tan and the Yeshiva of Rabbi Shimon, they taught, since it says in that pasuk lechaper, that means that lechapar is sativ. I've given you the blood to create atonement for lola me'ila, but not that the blood could create me'ila. And Rabbi Yochanan said, the pasuk says, who? Right? The pasuk said, ki adam hu banefesh yechaper. It has the word hu, which means b'haba yasu yehei. It stays the way it is. So the blood always stays in its status. So therefore, there's no difference between lefnei kapara, before atonement, kilacha kapara, like after atonement. So just like after atonement, after it was put on the blood, after it was put on the mizbech, certainly there's no meila. Aflifne kapar embo meila. So too, before it gained atonement, before it was put onto the mizbech, also if you were to take from the blood, there'd be no meila. Says the Gemara, 1 second. Ve'emalacha kapar kalifne kapar. What if you have the word who? And who says that the blood always has the same status? Go the other way. Say even after you put it on the Mizbeach, there would be Me'ila, the same way there'd be Me'ila before you put it on the Mizbeach. Malif ne kapar yesh bo Me'ila, just like before you gained atonement through it, presumably there is Me'ila. Aflacha kapar yesh bo Me'ila. So to after you gained atonement through it, there'd be Me'ila if you used it. So as the Gemara, that's an impossibility. Ein lecha davar shenasis mitzvah so mual in bo. There's no such thing where once the mitzvah was done with the item, there's still Me'ila on it. The Torah's phrase for Me'ilah is that a person went and benefited from Kodshei Hashem, from that which was holy to God. Once it was offered, once the mitzvah was done with it, it's no longer Kodshei Hashem. Everything was done. It's not God's sacred items anymore. So the Gemara says, "V'lo, is that really true? Darei Truma Sadeshen." We know that there is a mitzvah of taking off the first ash. First thing in the morning, or sometimes it was even done at night. It could be done at 12 at night. It could be done at 10 at night even, as we've seen earlier in the Masechta, cleaning off the ashes from the Mizbeach Achitzon. The Torah says, V'samo etzala Mizbeach. He has to place it next to the altar. Place it, in other words, not to get benefit from it. In other words, once it comes off of the altar, there would be Me'ilah if you get benefit from it. So even though the mitzvah was already done, it was taken off of the altar. Nevertheless, there is Me'ilah. Says the Gemara, you can't learn from there. We have a rule in terms of derivations. Treik suvim abayim ke'echad ein melamdin. If two psukim are both seemingly teaching us the same law, that means that we don't learn that law from these psukim. Because if Hashem wanted to teach us the law that you do a mitzvah, and even after you did the mitzvah with the item still has me'ilah or a prohibition to get benefit from it, then he wouldn't repeat it. He would say it once, and you'd learn it from that one time. The fact that he repeated it is to say that no, these are the only exceptions. Here, even after you did the mitzvah, there's me'ilah. And you can't learn from here to anywhere else. That's why these two are mentioned. These are the exceptions, but nowhere else. Two psukim saying the same thing means that this thing doesn't exist anywhere else. So Truma Sadashen, which seems to imply that there's Me'ilah after the mitzvah is done, and Big Day Kahuna and the garments of the Kohen Gadol after Yom Kippur, where the Torah says about the garments of the Kohen Gadol after Yom Kippur, Uvar, Aron, Omoed, the Aron is going to come to the tent of the meeting. Ufashit is Big Day Abada, Shalavash, Bevor, Lakodesh is going to take off the white garments, the linen garments that he wore into the holiest of holies, v'hinicham sham, he's going to leave them there. He has to leave the garments there. Hinicham sham, he has to leave them there. So leaving something there means that you can't benefit from it. It's put away and you can't benefit from it. Mishum David Shuma Sadash and the Big Day Kahuna. So both the ashes coming off of the Mizbeach and the Big Day Kahuna are Shnei Ksuvim, or two psukim, both telling us that even after the mitzvah is done, you can't get benefit. So Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Kech, when you have two psukim coming to say the same thing, that means you can't learn from it anywhere else. Kol Shnei Ksuvim, and we have a rule. V'chol Shnei Ksuvim Abayim Kech, whenever you have two psukim to both tell you the same law, Emalamdim, you can't learn from there to anywhere else. Therefore, it's clear that only here, only in Truma Sadashen and in the garments of the Kohen Gadol after Yom Kippur, after the mitzvah is done, is there still a prohibition of getting benefit. But everything else, once the mitzvah is done, then you are allowed to get benefit. There is no me'ilah, at least midoraisa. Says the Gemara, that's fine if you say that the pasuk about the garments of the Kohen Gadol, which says he'll place them there, means that you can't use them anymore. Fine. So you can't use them, means you can't get benefit from them, means you can't be Me'ilah if you did get benefit from them. Okay, that's fine. That's a good source. There, the mitzvah is done with it, and even afterwards, there's a law of no benefits. And here in Truma Sadashen, the mitzvah is done, and there's a law of no benefits. So then you've resolved the question. El Rabbi Dosa, but Rabbi Dosa is a different interpretation of that pasuk. According to Rabbi Dosa, Tamar holds Big Day Kahuna that the garments that the Kohen Gadol wears on Yom Kippur, Ruin the Kohen, the Kohen Hedget, a regular Kohen can now wear them. Regular Kohen can wear them during the year for his avodos. So now, Ma'ikal Amemer, so what are you going to say? Again, we're back to our question. Why don't we have a rule that, why don't we say from the word who, the exact opposite? We should say that blood, even after you apply it on the Mizbeach, there is Me'ilah, the same way there was Me'ilah beforehand. You'll say that's not true. Why isn't that true? We can learn it from Truma Sadashen. There aren't two sources that say this idea. There's only one source, Truma Sadashen. So learn it from Truma Sadashen. Answer the Gemara, Mishum David Truma Sadashen, Ve'egla Arufa Shnei Ksuvim Bayim Ke'echad. We have another pasuk besides Big Day Kahuna. Truma Sadashen, the ashes after they're taken off of the Mizbeach, there's a law of Yinicham Sham, place them there. And Egla Rufa, the calf whose head is chopped off because it's to create atonement for a person who died, and we don't know the circumstances of why he was killed or why he died. So the Egla Rufa, the pasuk says, also the word Sham, Bechazik Nehair. The pasuk said there. So the Egla Rufa also, even after It says, "Va'arfu shames ha'egla banachal," and they'll chop off there the head of the egla in the riverbed. So since it says "va'arfu sham," that means it has to stay there. You can't get benefit from it. So kol shnei ksuva ban kachet. Here you have two psukim. Shumas hadeshan, after the ashes are removed from the mizbeach, and egla rufa, after the calf's head is chopped off. Both teaching you the same idea, seemingly, that even after the mitzvah is done, you can't get benefit. So eim alamins, you can't learn from there to anywhere else. Other things, after the mitzvah is done, you could get benefit. Says the Gemara, ultimately, this whole answer only works on ichlam adam, according to the opinion that shnei ksuvim abayim keachad eim alamdim. When you have two psukim telling you the same idea, that means these are the only two exceptions. These are the cases that have the idea. No one else has the idea. But according to the opinion that says you can learn from two psukim, Michael and Eman, now we're going to say again, why do we say that the word who in regards to dam is to say that just like blood, after it goes on the mizbeach, there's no me'ilah, so to blood beforehand, there's no me'ilah. Go to the opposite. Say, blood before the mizbeach has me'ilah, and blood after the mizbeach has me'ilah. And to the Gemara, according to the view that Shnei Ksuvim Barin Kachem Melamdin, here, the psukim explicitly exclude anything else. Only Chumas Hadesh and only Egla Arufa is there going to be a prohibition of getting benefit after the mitzvah is done with it. Shvei Miyutik Sivi, there are two exclusionary words. Number one, it says about Chumas Hadesh and Vissamo, Eitzel Mizbeach, he will place it next to the altar. And it says about Egla Arufa, Yerchatsu Sidehem, Al Ho Egla Ho Arufa. Ask the Mara. All right, so that's fine. So now we explained. So we said there's no Mi'ila in blood. And it's either from the word lachem, or from the word lachaper, or from the word who. And we had a whole bunch of questions. How can you say from the word who? Take the word who to teach the opposite. There is me'ilah in blood. So we resolve that. Okay, there's no me'ilah in blood. So they now ask the Gemara, "Vani klasa kroy bidam lameli." Why do I need to have three psukim telling me there's no me'ilah in blood? The word lachaper, the word lachem, the word who. Answer the Gemara. Actually, these psukim are to teach us other things. One is to teach us that in blood there's no prohibition of nosar. Typically, if you have a carbon and you leave the carbon out, so if the carbon was stayed out for 2 days, so now it's nosar, you're not allowed to eat it. And anyone who eats the meat of a carbon that was nosar gets kares. Now, if you eat blood, you get kares for eating blood. What happens if a guy eats blood of a carbon which is nosar? Is that two kares penalties or one kares penalty? There's only one kares penalty. There's only the kares penalty of blood. Blood is not included in nosar. V'chad, the other pasuk, l'mu'utei mi'me'ilah. They say blood is not included in me'ilah, as you've been saying till now. If blood was given l'chaper, it wasn't given to create me'ilah prohibitions. V'chad, and the third is l'mu'utei mi'tuma, that if the carbon became tameh, again, it would be a chi of karis for somebody to eat kachim tameh, for somebody to eat a carbon that was made tameh. But if the blood was made tameh of a carbon, then there's no kares for the tuma, but there's only kares for the sin of ingesting blood. It says the Gemara, Avami Pigol, Lo Tzarich L'mu'utei Kra. I don't need a separate pasuk to teach me that the law of contaminated meat, that if the carbon was offered with an intention to eat it at the wrong time, then the meat becomes contaminated. Anybody who eats that meat gets kares, that should not apply to blood. I don't need a pasuk. It's not because that I know from other laws of pigol. We learned in the Mishnah in Zvachim, Kol Sheyesh L'Matirin, Bein La'adam Bein La'Mizbeach, Hayav V'Nalav Mishum Pigol. Those parts of the carbon that have something which permits them, let's say the innards are only permitted to be burned on the Mizbeach once the blood is thrown on the Mizbeach. Or the pieces of meat of the carbon, they're only permitted to be eaten by the Kohen or by the Baalim, if it's a Shlamim. Once again, services are done with the blood, so they are something which permits them. Some other activity is going to permit them. The things that have something permitting them, then they could become pigol. Chayav and olav mishum pigol. But dam atzmo, the blood, doesn't have something permitting the blood. The dam is the matir. The dam is what permits other things. So blood is not included in pigol. Pigol is for those things that yesh lahen matirim. They have something permitting them, not that they themselves are the permitters. The blood is a permitter. And therefore, in blood, there is no law of pigol, and I don't need a pasuk to tell me that. Okay, that completes that discussion. Now we move on to a new topic. The Mishnah teaches us that the order of the service of Yom Kippur is absolutely required. If things were done out of order, they need to be done in the right order. So for example, let's just think of some of the things that we've learned. We learned that the Kohen Gadol puts on the white garments. He confesses on the bull, on the Sarah LaHashem. He slaughters the bull. He goes, he gets Ktores, he comes back, he brings the Ktores and the coals into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He then goes and retrieves the blood of the bull from the person who was stirring it. He brings the blood of the bull into the Kodesh HaKadoshim and sprinkles it there. Then he comes back out, he slaughters the goat, he brings the blood of the goat into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he sprinkles that in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Then he goes out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he sprinkles the blood of the bull in front of the paroches. He sprinkles the blood of the goat in front of the paroches. He then mixes the two bloods. He puts them on the corners of the Mizbeach Hazav. He sprinkles them on top of the Mizbeach Hazav. He goes out to the Mizbeach HaChitzon. He pours out the leftovers. If things were done out of order, let's say he put blood on the corners of the Mizbeach Hazav before he sprinkled in front of the paroches. Or let's say instead of... He did the Ktores and Kodesh HaKadashim, and then instead of the blood of the bull, he first comes in with the blood of the goat. If things are done out of order, so what happens then? Says the Mishnah, Kol Maisi Yom HaKippurim, all the services of Yom Kippur that we've mentioned in all these Mishnayos, Amar Allah Seder, that's based on the order that the Torah established them. And therefore, Im Hikdim Maisi L'Chaber, if he did something out of order, what should have been step three, he did a step two, Lo Asa Klum, that's meaningless, he didn't accomplish anything. So, for example, Hiktim Damasar Ledamapar, he sprinkled the blood of the goat in Kodesh HaKadoshim before sprinkling the blood of the bull. Now, Yazar Yazmi Damasar, he has to go back and again sprinkle the blood of the goat. Achar Damapar, after he sprinkled the blood of the bull. So, if he sprinkles blood of the goat first and then the blood of the bull, the blood of the goat didn't count because it was done in its wrong spot. So, now, what is the right spot of the blood of the goat? After the blood of the goat. The blood of the bull. So now you should sprinkle again the blood of the goat after the blood of the bull. Now, what happens if in the middle of the service the blood spills? Let's say he's sprinkling the eight sprinklings, right? The achas lamala v'sheva lamata of the blood of the bull in Kodesh HaKadoshim, and he's up to sprinkling number five. He says achas v'shalosh. He takes the next one and before he finishes all the placements of blood that are supposed to happen in Kodesh HaKadoshim, the blood spills. So now he has to redo it. He has to go out and slaughter another bull. And Yavidam Acher, bring blood from another bull. And redo the service starting from sprinkling number one in Kodesh HaKadoshim. The same thing would be true if the blood spilled in the middle of the sprinklings in the Heichal in front of the Paroches. He has to redo it. And the same is true if the blood spilled in the sprinklings of the blood on the golden altar. Shakulan, for each of these places, the Kodesh HaKadoshim, in front of the Paroches, the golden altar, Kapar B'fnei Atzman, they are their own atonements. So that's why, if it's spilled in the middle of the Paroches service, but he did the full service of the blood in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he doesn't have to go back to Kodesh HaKadoshim when he restarts. Because that already had its Kapara. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon disagree. They say when he goes back, he doesn't have to restart from step one, from, you know, the first sprinkling. When he comes back, let's say into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, when it's spilled before the fifth sprinkling, so he starts with sprinkling number five. All the services of Yom Kippur that are in order. If he did one act before the next, he did act three before he was supposed to do it, he did it before two, that service didn't work. He has to redo it in its right spot, like our Mishnah. Now we have an argument. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, Masai, when is this true? That's true about the acts of service that the Kohen Gadol does while wearing white garments and standing in Kodesh HaKodashim. But the things that the Kohen Gadol does while wearing the white garments, but he's outside of Kodesh HaKadoshim, say the confessions on the animals, the picking of the lots, things like that. If he did one of those actions out of order before its friend, that's fine. He doesn't have to redo anything. Rabbi Nechemiah says, when is this true? With the law that it has to be the right order is by those acts of service done while wearing the white garments, beimim b'fnim, beimim b'chutz, whether the Kohen Gadol is wearing the white garments in the Kodesh HaKadoshim or acts of service that he's doing with the white garments while outside of Kodesh HaKadoshim, even pouring the shirayim, pouring the leftovers on the Mizbeach HaChitzon that's done while wearing the white garments. But those things that are done while wearing the gold garments outside, then we'd say, Masha Asa Asi. If that was done out of order, that's okay. Whatever was done is okay. Amar Rabbi Yochanan said, Ushneim, both Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Nechemya, Mikra Echa Darshu. They're arguing about how to interpret one pasuk. Whether this pasuk is saying that all the avodos bevigdei lavan have to be in their order, or is it saying all the avodos bevigdei lavan bekodesh hakadoshim have to be in their right order? The pasuk said, "Vaisazos lachem," and this will be for you, lechukas olam, as an eternal law, lechaper al bnei Yisrael mikol chatosam, to atone for the Jewish people from all of their sins. Achas bashana, once a year. Achas bashana. So you have the word chukas olam, an eternal law. Achas bashana, for something which happens once a year. So if you just have a beautiful like this, those acts of service that happen in the place only once a year, which place do we only enter once a year? The Kodesh HaKadoshim. So those acts of service of Kodesh HaKadoshim, they are the ones that their order is Chukas Olam. It has to be this way. Rabbi Nechemya holds, no. All the services that are one time a year services, they're the ones that have to be in their order. And the one time a year services are all the services done wearing the white garments, even those done while wearing the white garments outside of Kodesh HaKadoshim. Says the Gemara, Atul Rabbi Yehuda, Makom Ksiv, Rabbi Yehuda, why does he say only the activities done in Kodesh HaKadoshim? Does the verse say a certain place? So the Gemara says, okay, that's not the Pshat in Rabbi Yehuda. Elahein, the time of Rabbi Yehuda, rather the reasoning of Rabbi Yehuda is like this. Again, it's based on this Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vaisazos lachem lachukas olam achas bashana. That Pasuk implies that all of this, all of the service has to be this way. It's a chukas olam, an eternal law. It can't deviate in any way. On the other hand, the Pasuk says, Zos, this has to be this way. That's an exclusion. And it says, Achas, one thing has to be this way. So, one word is to exclude service done in the white garments outside of Kodesh HaKadoshim. And one is to exclude the services done wearing the full eight garments. Those also are not in the rule of Chukas Olam, but they have to be done exactly in this way. That's Rabbi Yehuda's Pshat. Rabbi Nechemya also says two mi'utim, two exclusions. So chadam ute big days up. One is to exclude the activities that are done while wearing the eight garments. Chadam ute shirayim. And the other one, the other exclusion is to exclude the pouring of the blood, the pouring of the excess blood onto the foundation of the Mizbeach Hachitzam. Those two things, the lo ma'akvi, there the order is not an absolute requirement and they don't ruin it for other acts of service. But the acts of service that happen in Big Day Lavan outside of Kodesh HaKadoshim, so let's say the sprinkling of the blood in front of the paroches, that is an absolute requirement that it be done in exactly this order. Now, why didn't Rabbi Yehuda use these words the way Rabbi Nechemya did? And to say that one of the exclusions is to exclude the pouring of the blood on the foundation of the outer altar. The Yehuda will tell you, Imakvi, if some service is done while wearing the white garments are absolute requirements, and if they're not done in their right way, then they ruin for other services. Then Ma'akvi, then the pouring of the blood on the foundation also should be Ma'akev, because it's done in the white garments. People go, Ma'akvi. And if you're going to tell me that the acts of service are not ma'akev, so then lo ma'akvi, so then the pouring of the blood also shouldn't be ma'akev, because it itself is like all the other acts that are done while wearing white garments outside of Kodesh HaKadoshim. Kiritanya, as we learned in a brisa, pasuk says, after placing the blood of the bull and after the blood of the goat, v'chila mikaper es hakodesh, and he will complete from gaining atonement on behalf of the holy area. So that pasuk is saying, im kiper, if the Kohen Gadol placed the blood of the bull in the right way and the blood of the goat in the right way, kilo, then he completed his service. Im lo kiper, but if he didn't place the blood in the right way, lo kilo, he did not complete the service, and the service is pasul. Divrei Rabbi Akiva, that's the guru of Rabbi Akiva. Amar lo Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said to him, ipnei malo nomar, why don't we say, im kilo, if the Kohen Gadol completed all of the services, then keeper, then he created atonement. But if he didn't complete all the services, lo keeper, he didn't create the atonement. And the meaning would be, if you left out one of the placements of blood of the bull or of the goat, then the service is possible. And we asked, my benai, what's the difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda? So here we have an argument between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi. Chadamar mashmos darshanika benai. The difference is just how do you darshan the pasuk? Chadamar, one said the difference between them is shirayim akvim, whether pouring the leftover blood is an absolute requirement to prevent that. If you didn't pour the leftover blood, then you don't get the kapara for the sprinklings. Says the Gemara, Mi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hachi, did Rabbi Yochanan say this? That, according to Rabbi Nechemya, pouring the leftover blood is not an absolute ma'akev. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, didn't Rabbi Yochanan say, Tani Rabbi Nechemya, Rabbi Nechemya taught in a braisa, Kedivri Omer, like the one who says, Shirayim ma'akvi, that pouring the leftover blood is an absolute requirement. Kasha, that is a question. Amar Rabbi Chanina said, Ktora Shachafna, Ktora said the Kohen Gadol filled his two palms with two scoops. Before he slaughtered the bull, he didn't do anything. So now that he slaughters the bull, he has to go back and again fill his hands with ketores. Come on, who is this like? It's not like Rabbi Yehuda says that the absolute requirements are only those activities done while wearing the white garments in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. In the Kodesh HaKadoshim, wearing the white garments, the Kohen Gadol is not slaughtering the bull. The Kohen Gadol brings in the Ketores, the Kohen Gadol sprinkles the blood of the bull, and he sprinkles the blood of the goat, and he takes out the Ketores in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So to say that it's an absolute requirement, that wouldn't be like Rabbi Yehuda. So it must be, it's like Rabbi Nechemya. Says the Gemara, I don't know, I feel the same Rabbi Yehuda, it could be Rabbi Yehuda. Ketores, the taking of the fistfuls of the Ketores, that is Tzorech Pnim, that's for the sake of taking the Ketores into the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So since it's to take the Ketores into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, therefore, it's an absolute requirement that it be done in the right order, that it be done before, that it be done after the slaughter of the bull. I feel the same Rabbi Yehuda, because Tzorech Pnim Kipnim Dami, that which is needed for the Kodesh HaKadoshim, has the status as Kodesh HaKadoshim. It's now in our Mishnah. If he hasn't yet finished putting the blood between the Badi Aaron and the blood spills, he has to slaughter the bull, a new bull, and now bring blood in. And he has to now start from scratch, from the first drop. According to the other opinion in the Mishnah, he can start from the middle. But if you're right, that according to Yehuda, services of the inside have to be done in their right order, and Ketores is considered service of the inside, because Ketores is for the sake of the inside, so the filling of the scoops is considered a service of the inside. If the filling of the scoops is a service of the inside, and his blood spilled, and now he has to slaughter the bull, he should have to refill his hands with ketores. The Mishnah should say he should now slaughter the bull again, a new bull. Now he has to again fill his hands with ketores. Answer the Gemara, you're right, he does. But the ketores lo kamayi, the Mishnah wasn't talking about the ketores, it's talking about the droppings of the blood. But it's true, he has to actually refill his hands with ketores. Okay, Adkan Daf Samach.